In 2013, the case of trans female Calliope Wong's rejection from fellow Seven Sisters Smith College made headlines. How did that affect your efforts at Mount Holyoke?
We heard about it from everyone at Smith who also cares about the admittance of trans women. That was obviously a larger media case, and Mount Holyoke hadn't had one of those, so Smith sort of had to go about their policy changes a little differently than we did here. You know, it's frustrating to hear that type of thing, and we certainly hope that Mount Holyoke's new policy will prevent things like that happening here.
Now that Mills and Mount Holyoke have publicly changed their policies, do you have a sense that the stage is set for the start of a larger movement among women's colleges?
Definitely. Yeah, so we, obviously there's that recent open letter from Bryn Mawr College, and I got to speak with a representative from Barnard just yesterday, and it's something that's clearly just all across the nation this change is happening, which is just really positive to see, and we're so happy that Mount Holyoke and Mills could be, you know, a few of the schools that can make this happen and, you know, show that it is possible and it is a necessity here that, you know, trans women are admitted to women's colleges.
Do you think pop culture is helping to open the dialogue or at least make the case for the inclusion of transgender students? I'm thinking specifically of the popularity of actress Laverne Cox on the show Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, certainly with the presence of these amazing women like Laverne Cox, like Janet Mock, like Laura Jane Grace, these trans women activists who've just been showing both the discrimination and violence that they face in their lives and how spaces like Mount Holyoke and other institutions can be this positive location of change. I would definitely say that.
The arguments against opening up admissions to transgender students at all female institutions, they range from trans females not having the same experience of womanhood, quote unquote, to unfair advantage on sports teams. What do you say to those arguments?
The most obvious argument against that is, you know, Title IX is in place for oppressed gender minorities, and trans women fit that bill, both on the fact that they are oppressed in their status as trans and they're oppressed as women in this world. So, you know, it's pretty clear that they should be admitted to women's colleges in terms of having different experiences of womanhood. You know, it's so difficult to point to just one experience of womanhood and say, this is the way it's done. And of course, historically, at least in the last 30 years, mainstream feminism has been doing that with focusing on cisgender women's experiences. So simply, like, the voices that have been coming out in the last, you know, 10 and 20 years and have always been present but silenced have been really powerful in showing that, you know, not everyone's childhood looks the same and not everyone's girlhood necessarily follows the same path. And that goes for all different identities, whether that's where you're from, your racial or ethnic identities, all sorts of different things, you know, make up this sort of fluid and incredibly ambiguous category of what womanhood truly is.
There's also the concern that at age 18, identity in general, let alone gender identity, may not be solidified. That an individual born as a male may choose to identify as a female, but maybe revert back to their cisgender after starting at the school. How do transgender activists respond to that?
That's one of the institutional barriers that trans women face in, you know, legally transitioning is people saying, oh, you're young, you don't exactly know what you want. And that combined with lack of access to surgery, to hormones, to anything else they may require simply for staying alive, actually, because of the extraordinary high suicide rates for transgender people. Mount Holyoke is the absolute perfect place to, you know, explore your gender identity, to realize the beauty in so many different genders, and it is a safer place than many other places in the world. So Mount Holyoke has these resources. We have multiple organizations on campus. We have an educated and well-trained staff and faculty who know, you know, to use the students' correct pronouns, to use their chosen names. So I think that Mount Holyoke is a wonderful place for someone who is sort of either in a questioning their gender identity or in a transition period in their life.
Now, what do you see on the horizon for transgender activism? Will single-sex education in this country open its doors to transgender students? Is there a long road ahead? What do you see in the future?
I definitely see single-sex education opening up the gates, so to speak. I think that as more and more research comes out, as more and more voices come out about trans experiences and trans lives, it's pretty clear that this is a step that single-sex institutions need to take to fulfill their mission. You know, for Smith, it's women for the world. You know, for Mount Holyoke, it's never fearing change. Whatever your specific school's mission is, I think it's clear that trans women fall under that category of deserving the best education that they can have in a relatively safe space.